Welcome to the Practical Prophetic, where prophetic ministry is made practical. I'm Beth Wingate, I'm your host, and welcome to the podcast. On our podcast today, we are going to talk about the six fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith as laid out in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. One of the jobs of this podcast, of course, is to bring you the practical prophetic, but I would not be doing my job correctly if I did not at least lay down some foundational and fundamental things from time to time. My sister one time was building a house, her and her husband, and the builder made some kind of an error. And when he went to build the house, the concrete was poured by the company, I'm sure a subcontractor that came in and poured the foundation. And it was about 2 feet too short in one direction. And they had to delay all the building. They had to come back in. They had to make new forms. And they had to add on to this foundational problem because he said it would throw the entire house. The entire floor plan would be out of whack, you know, because you're missing 2 feet off the entire front side of the house lengthways. And so it was a lesson, though, that if your fundamentals are off, everything can be off from that point forward because the foundation is the most important part of the building. And so we have to have good foundational, solid doctrine to be able to operate in the prophetic. If I've seen people who will get a hold of the prophetic, maybe they get a hold of giving someone a word of wisdom or knowledge, and I've seen them just run off a little bit half-cocked. That can be a little dangerous. People can get into error. They can get too excited and, you know, say things they probably shouldn't say. I've done a podcast before that gives rules for the prophetic, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to those. There's a lot of rules. You know, you never give people dates. You never tell people they're going to get married or have a baby, unless the Lord absolutely told you that. But even then, I would put a big caution label on that. You may say things like, I feel impressed or whatever, but I don't dare speak on behalf of the Lord unless I am just 100% sure. And you can always do that with scripture, but of course it has to be in context. So we always want to balance things and use the Word of God as our plumb line. So I want to come back today to some basic doctrinal truths. This is something you would learn in seminary, and hopefully if you're in a good church, you would learn this in a small group or a Sunday school or you know, maybe a Wednesday night teaching class or something like that. In our modern era, it is very difficult with everyone's busy schedule because nowadays, you know, mom and dad both usually work and kids are in structured activities, and it's very difficult for people to take the time to really dive into Bible study. But it's important and it doesn't need to be neglected, and that's why podcasts like these can be very beneficial to you. And I'm going to say this too. As you grow in as a believer, like I've said here over the past few weeks, you can't come into church and only be a consumer. Part of the Great Commission and your mission to be mission-focused means that you have to become the hands and feet for the Lord, that you have to contribute to the kingdom of God, not just always be on the receiving end. And so, and there's blessing in it. There's blessing for your family in it, for you. And we've talked last week about deliverance. And I said, you know, lay hands on yourself. Well, part of that is putting on the full armor of God and growing in your faith through the Word of God. And that means daily study, whether you use a devotional or a podcast like this or a small group at church, or hopefully you're doing a little bit of all of these kinds of things so that you can grow and mature as a believer. I came to a point in my life that I just have always been in church. I've always been a Christian. I've always enjoyed Bible study, but I also came to a point where I just said, you know, I really want to know the Lord more and I want to do things the right way. I want to please the Lord. And so that meant that I really got serious about my Bible study time. And so I'm just going to give us these six fundamentals. This is fundamental basic doctrine. This is not anything earth-shattering, but hopefully this will reinforce what you already believe, or if this is new to you, you need to make this foundational to your entire belief system, because this is what Paul taught the early church. This is what Paul is teaching us here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. These are the six fundamental doctrines of Christianity. I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to let us go through each one of these and maybe give a little bit of commentary. Okay, so it says in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Okay, so he's telling us that the foundational things, and he's telling us, look, it can't just be about your salvation. That's wonderful. And there's a season where that is all you have to know is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he saved me and changed me and he turned my life around. And that is a testimony and that is a powerful thing and that can be a powerful tool in evangelism. But that is day one of business. You know, when a business has, we've watched here in our town, there's a new restaurant that came into a kind of an older building that had been vacant for about a year. And we've watched them slowly, completely paint and remodel and fix up this building. And it's been wonderful to watch this transformation of this building. And our Chamber of Commerce had a wonderful little ribbon cutting ceremony. And they took a picture and cut the ribbon. And the restaurant officially opened. Okay, that's like the day of salvation. You know, the Lord did this work in you and you became a Christian. But now it's time for that building to function in its purpose. And that means it needs to serve food. And so it's more than just the building opening. That's just step one. That's day one of operating business. And it's the same thing for a lot of people. A lot of people never move past their salvation experience. And that's okay. It's not ideal. That's enough. But there is so much more to your faith and to living and serving the Lord. And so I want to lay this out. I want to go through these very slowly. And so this is what Paul says. We need to move on. We need to lay it. You know, he doesn't need to keep laying the foundation over and over. Some people just didn't seem to progress. And so he's telling you that you need to know these basic doctrines. This is something that just should be a give me. Okay, let's go through the number one. Number one of the six fundamentals are repentance from acts that lead to death. As a believer, I'm going to say this. Yes, your sins have been forgiven, but none of us are perfect. And all of us have sinned and come short, even as believers. Repentance should be part of your daily prayer with the Lord. Now, I don't think you should go around living in condemnation. If you're feeling the conviction because of something you've done or, you know, mindset, behavior, said, whatever, you just simply need to heed to that conviction, repent, and move on. Some people, you know, maybe you'd struggle with anger or whatever it is, and you yelled and, you know, said some things you shouldn't have said. Okay, then you go home and you start feeling conviction, that tugging of the Holy Spirit. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be obstinate. Don't rebel against that. You need to heed to that. That's the Holy Spirit. That feeling, that uncomfortable feeling is conviction. That's a good thing in your life. However, and that should lead you to repentance. However, you don't need to just stay in condemnation. Oh, God can never love me because I got mad and said some really terrible things when I was angry, you know, whatever. Okay, once you heed to that conviction, repent. That may require you going back and apologizing to someone and then move on. There's freedom from that. The Bible says that he even forgives the guilt of our sin. So you don't need to walk around in condemnation. That's number one. That's one of these fundamentals is repentance. That should be a daily part of your life as a believer. You know, you need to be communicating with the Lord in prayer all the time on a regular basis. And you need to be quicker and quicker with repentance. You know, if you do something, You need to stay on top of yourself and go, oh, why did I do that? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Why did I do that? And then just immediately, quickly, you know, deal with it. Apologize, make amends, whatever you need to do. And so that's how you mature as a believer. And you get to the point where hopefully you conquer your impulse control. You know, you conquer your impulses with the spirit of self-control. And you can catch yourself before you pop off and say the things you shouldn't say. And that's how we mature. Okay, number two, faith in God. You know, this seems like a very simple one. Well, I've got faith in God. You know, a lot of us are probably thinking things like that. But if we go to Hebrews chapter 4, we know Paul tells us the reason the children of Israel, who are an example for us, did not enter into the promised land was not because of the party at the golden calf. It was because they had doubt and unbelief. You have to have faith in God, faith that he will do what he said he will do, even when the circumstances don't look like it. You know, we'll sing about it and we'll get very excited, you know, Waymaker, and we'll sing the song. And even when I can't see it, you know, we'll hype ourselves up about faith. But I've seen people be real into that song and worshiping the Lord, and the message is going forth in that song. And maybe the pastor will preach a sermon about faith, and then they'll walk out the door. And as soon as they're hit with a problem, well, you know, they're not ever going to change. I've been praying for, you know, my family member, and they're never going to get saved. They're just on drugs. And, you know, and that's not walking in faith. Or I'm not going to be able to do this, or God can't do, you know, whatever. We got to have faith that God will do what he said he will do. And how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm hopefully going to have my mom on next week to really drive home that one. All right, number three, I'll leave some of that for her. Number three, instructions about baptisms. And by the way, that's plural, baptisms. But baptism is important. Our church recently just had a really large baptism service. We were actually surprised at how many people had signed up. It's exciting. And so it was wonderful to watch new believers make that public profession of their faith, and to go through baptism as an outward demonstration and testimony of an inward act happening within your spirit, man. What a wonderful thing. And so we had a celebration type service, and it was very exciting. And so I hope that you've been baptized as a Christian. And if you haven't, you should do that. It's never too late. We had several people actually at this baptism service who had been saved for many years, and had actually, some of them volunteer at our church and are very involved. And so, but they had never actually done that. And so it's important that you do that. There's no condemnation. Just need to do it. This is an elementary part, a foundational part of our faith. So it's important. The next one, laying hands on people. This is important. Go study your early church. Go study your Bible. Laying on of hands is important in prayer, you know, whether it's for healing or deliverance or encouragement, or, you know, just as a show of empathy and support, or sympathy and support. You know, when we pray for people, it is scriptural to lay hands on them. Now, of course, there's rules about that. A lot of pastors, you know, some teach and some don't teach this, but they should. It's just some common sense things. Usually, men do not need to be praying for women, and vice versa. And if you do, there's an appropriate way to do that. Just a gentle, you know, hand on a shoulder, you know, in public for everybody to see is appropriate, or whatever. But just use common sense. I mean, I think all of us hopefully have common sense about laying hands. But the Bible teaches us that this is important. In fact, it said that when you're dealing with deliverance, sometimes it requires laying on of hands and prayer and fasting. And so there are some strongholds in people's lives that are really entrenched, and it's going to take a little more than just praying, you know, over the person. In fact, we were having a conversation. We have a prayer team at our church that is sort of the designated people, and kind of prays for people at the altars and everything. And so they were having a conversation that some people will kind of just go up behind somebody, and they'll just kind of touch their shoulder and say, Lord bless them, you know, and then they'll go to the next person. That's really, that's something. it's really not enough. You really need to know how to lay hands on someone, especially like in an altar setting or whatever, and pray for them. Let me give a quick example. Me and a friend of mine, and she and her husband were youth pastors at the time, we went to visit a girl who we both kind of just somewhat knew because our kids played sports together, but she had a house fire, and we had gathered up some donations of clothes and stuff for her kids and her, mainly for her kids because we had kids about the same age, and so we both went through and got some clothes and shoes because they were in immediate need. And we reached out to her on Facebook and decided to go take these to her house. And we got to talking to her for just a little bit. She had a baby and then she had some other kids. And we connected her with a pastor we knew that just lived like really within walking distance of her house, and connected them. And then when we went to leave, my friend said, can we pray for you? And can we lay hands on you and pray for you know, the Lord to meet your needs, for the Lord to do a work in your family? And you know, she was dealing with all kind of things. And so she was very open to that. And she's not someone who is in church at all. Well, when we finished praying with her, she told us, she was like, you know, she had just recently become a Christian. And so when we prayed for her, she was like, oh my goodness, I felt, you know, something tangibly, you know, when you guys prayed for me. And so we explained to her that that was the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the Lord reassuring her that he loves her and he cares for her and that he's going to meet her needs. And so the Lord, through that, was able to demonstrate his love and power to her in her life. And so that was powerful to witness that and to be a part of that. And so that can have so much power. Don't be timid as a believer. We are called, this is a basic fundamental teaching, to lay hands on people. Now, the Bible also gives some guardrails. It says, lay hands on no man suddenly. You can't have seen people that are, get a little too carried away and they're just praying for everybody and they don't really know what they're doing. And they think if they just pray real loud, you know, then it will do the trick. But no, no, no. You need to pray the scripture, pray the word of God. You can lay hands appropriately on someone and make sure it's okay with them. You know, just use common sense. You can go back and listen to those guidelines. And I think I go into more detail on that one. The next one, number 5, is the resurrection of the dead. Listen, we have an eternal hope. We have an eternal hope. And the Lord has resurrection power, and that's multifaceted. That's allegorical and it's real. And I would love to share some testimonies, but I mean, we just have some amazing testimonies that we have seen where the Lord has really healed people who were at death's door. We know someone that had medically lost heartbeat and all, and people begin to pray for him, and they got a pulse back on him. I'm going to take that as a resurrection power. I've seen people who, in more of an allegorical or a spiritual way, who were spiritually just dead and just, you know, in such a destitute place, suicidal, strung out on drugs, and the Lord just resurrected them spiritually and changed their life and turned their whole life around. Now, we were involved for a little while with a Teen Challenge, which was a drug rehab ministry, and we just saw so many miracles as people would come and their life was drastically and radically changed. And so resurrection of the dead, both literal and spiritual, is a fundamental part of the doctrine of the church. And then the last one is eternal judgment. Listen, there will be a reckoning. There will be a reckoning. Jesus came the first time as a lamb. He's coming back as a king who judges. And so there will be an accounting. There is a judgment. Now, by the way, if you're a believer, you go before what is called the Bema Seat, and that's a good judgment. You know, when you have done something worthy of a reward, you know, you are judged on that and then given a reward. Like if someone wrongs you, and I'm always thinking of that lawsuit where McDonald's had the drive-through and the lady got the coffee spilled on her, but it was more serious than people realize. She had really severe burns on her arm. But to make an example, the court awarded this woman really hefty damages, and it was a substantial amount. I want to say it was like $1 million at the time, and this was probably in the late 80s, and it made headlines everywhere. But she was awarded something because it had damaged her permanently, and it was neglect on part of the restaurant. I think there was more to the whole story, but anyway. And so when you've been wronged and you need justice executed, judgment becomes a good thing. Judgment is a two-sided coin. Sometimes we only think of judgment in the negative sense, but in order to receive your reward when you've been wronged or for things that you have accomplished, it requires a judgment. And so the Bema Seat is a good judgment. It says your wicked deeds will be burned up as stubble and hay, but that your good works will be refined in the fire. And by the way, we're not saved by works, but works have their place, and we should always be doing things to please the Lord, not in a quote-unquote religious way, but in out of obedience because we love the Lord and we serve Him. However, people ask questions like this, you know, how can God allow bad things to happen? You know, how can He allow children to suffer? Well, that's a long theological conversation, but the long story short is Adam, mankind, gave dominion of this earth to Satan in the garden. And this is why we need a Savior, and this is why Jesus is coming back, and we are living in that time of transition. And so He's going to set things straight, and those who have done these wicked things will be judged, and that is righteous. And I could have a long conversation about that in our Bible study. We're studying in the book of Esther, and when the tables were turned on Haman, who was going to try to destroy all of the Jews, and Mordecai was then exalted, who was sort of like a governor over the Jews and was Esther's cousin slash uncle who took care of her. When the king asked Esther, "What can I do for you? I will give it to you up to half my kingdom." Esther asked for justice to be rendered. And so Haman and those who were anti-Semitic with him were hung on the gallows, and many of them who had oppressed the Jews were killed in a just kind of way. And so we had a long discussion in our Bible study about God's justice, and that even though the Lord is long-suffering and merciful and sweet and kind, there is a side of Him that is just. And so it's just like I said, you know, in our Bible study, that if you're a parent and someone hurts and harms your children, then you can have a righteous indignation and a justice of retribution that will see those things dealt with. You know, I would not stand for someone being abusive to an innocent child, and I would, you know, be willing to execute retribution myself in that situation. And so eternal judgment is a huge part of our foundational doctrine. Now, I just went and did a really quick run through of these fundamental doctrines. I did not do a deep dive, but let me leave us one more time with this scripture. And this is something for you to think about. And we're going to highlight a few of these maybe in the coming weeks. Okay, so Hebrews 6 verse 1 and 2, this is our foundational scripture, says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." So these are foundational. These are things every believer should know. You shouldn't have to be taught these, you know, every week. Although, until you know them well, yes, that's elementary, that's foundational. You need to know these. Just like everyone in society today is expected to be able to read, you know, you're expected to be able to do, you know, the basic four functions of math: addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. That's kind of a give me. They shouldn't have to teach you that every year in school. You know, that's a given. So, of course, these are things that you should learn. Now, if you're a baby Christian, of course you need to learn these things, and you definitely need to get a good foundation. And so I just wanted to go over these six foundational truths, these six foundational doctrines. because we all want that solid foundation of our faith. And so I would just encourage you to go back over these things and make sure and affirm that you know these things. I hope this blesses and encourages you today as we looked at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the six fundamentals of your faith. Have a blessed day. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll be informed next time I post. Thank you again and have a blessed day.